Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? It's Billy Hollowell, and welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast. Happy Monday. We are diving into the week. And look, we have got another great interview for you. We have had so much great content on the podcast lately. I am super excited. We just had the Newsboys on. Now we are having Crowder on the show. His name is David Crowder, but you probably know him as just Crowder. He was in the David Crowder Band. Now he is his own guy out there performing music. And look, I have to tell you, Crowder, I've interviewed him many times, and he is a funny guy. Now we're going to talk about his story. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a Christian artist. He's also out on a tour right now, so we're going to hear a little bit about that, what cities he's going to be hitting up, and so much more. So with no further ado, check out our interview with Crowder. Crowder, how's it going today?
Fantastic. Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's been a while. So you've got a lot going on. You've got this Hits Deep tour. Tell me a little bit about this. What are you guys doing?
Okay, first of all, I've been wanting to go on the road with Toby Mac like my whole life. I mean, for real, I've been chasing this guy down. Like, let me go on tour. Finally, I mean, he started this deal like in 2016. And, here we are in 2022. I finally made it. And so, man, I'm so pumped. I'm so excited. We just got through rehearsing. I get to sing with him on one of the songs. And you know how, I mean, they're like so cool and coordinated, the Diverse City deal. They've always got like dance moves, dance steps and stuff. I have some choreography and so I'm so pumped, man.
You're performing a little bit, like you're doing more than are you dancing? Is that?
I have some moves. Yeah. I'm like coordinated clapping with the whole band. I do this stop pause thing. It's impressive. I feel pretty coordinated and athletic after being up there rehearsing. And the funny thing is my wife's told me, she's like, whatever you do, don't try to dance. Don't try to dance next to Toby Mac, because you're going to look silly.
But now it's happening. It's happening now.
It's going to happen. So I'm pretty pumped.
So obviously the tour is happening. I would imagine this is exciting because, and I can't speak for you, I don't know, but most of the world has been shut down quite a bit or restricted. So things are opening back up. What has your life been like the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years when it comes to music?
Oh man. Well, one, you know, the upside of it, I guess, is I've had a lot of time to make and write music, plenty of time to make and write music since we couldn't be on the road. But since I started making music, I started in a church, writing for a church. So all of my music has really come out of like the idea of community, that people are in a room together singing songs together. And so to not be able to be out and about with a bunch of people together singing songs has been really tough. I'm also quite extroverted, so
you don't say. Yeah, I've never noticed that about you.
That's... Well, so it's good to be around people, you know. My wife is happy as well. I started power at the house to cope. I bought a power washer, and so my favorite thing about lockdown was power washing my driveway, and I got grounded from it. My wife grounded me from it because it was too much. I was too.
Would you
was
just go out much. Daily? Like, how often were you power washing the driveway?
She's right. It was too much. Like, a leaf would fall. I'd be like, oh, that can't be there. And so get the power washer. She's like, we used to have a nice concrete drive. You've taken it down to the aggregate, past the aggregate. Now we got a gravel drive, bro.
It's like a brick road at this point. Yeah.
It's not big. Yeah. But so we coped. We did things to cope. Like power washing and crosswords, but we're happy to be back out and can't wait to be singing these new songs that were written in a time that, you know, we couldn't be together. And so I'm pumped, man.
So how many instruments do you play?
I have no idea. I'll stab. I say it like this. I'll stab at anything around me. So, you know, and then they keep bringing me stuff. And they just keep bringing stuff on stage, and so I just keep stabbing at it.
It seems crazy to me, though. That I mean, I can barely play anything. I can barely operate this microphone, and yet, How do you, it's just a gift, I guess, but seriously, I mean, how many do you routinely play? How many instruments?
Well, so I grew up playing piano, and then I picked up guitar, acoustic guitar in college, my junior year in college, and couldn't put it down. I just fell in love with the acoustic and then studied music in college. So once you get the theory down, then it's just strings on wood, and you just tune them to whatever you want and, you know, flail around with it. And it's pretty easy once you know the theory.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to take your word for it, but I'm hoping maybe I could pick that theory up so I could learn too. But all right. So you have been in Christian music and in music in general for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I find you really interesting because a lot of people, they kind of play a certain type of music, a certain genre, and it sounds the same and they go with it and people love it and that's it. But I feel like your music, and I'm going to use the term all over the place, but I mean that in a really good way. I mean that in a really good way.
I think it's all over the place too.
But I mean that in like a, you hear one song and it sounds a certain way and you hear another one and it's really fat. So what attracts you to the different genres?
I think it's just the way we consume music now that, you know, we have access to so much and something will catch my ear. And it just, you know, when you're, I think the best thing you can do making music or creating is to be true with it, to be authentic. It's an overused word, but if something catches my ear and that's where I'm sitting, I can't help but expel it, you know? And so, also people call it ADHD. So, you know, there's that. There's letters for this kind of thing too.
I thought all over the place. It sounds bad. It's not though. Because I think it's amazing and it's what attracts people to the music. And
I think it's what's kept me interested, you know, the whole time too. You know, I think if I was just, you know, trying to refine one particular style, I would not still be doing that. I think I'd be onto something different, but to be able to explore because of the diversity of sounds we have access to nowadays, I think part of what I'm trying to do is express the diversity of the church. As I said, I started in the church and I just don't like homogeneity in church. And so I like to try to explore in all manner of ways and directions and styles that catch my ear.
So let's talk about that a little bit because you have obviously the single In the House. You've had a ton of singles over the years. And a ton of albums over the years, but what is it for you that draws you toward a particular topic? And feel free to talk about In the House as well, but I think even more generally, what makes you sort of gravitate towards different topics?
The funny thing, man, looking back over the years, I'm pretty redundant. I really am, like the themes that are in pretty much the entirety of what I've made, there's a big difference between the divine and the created, that there's a massive void between divinity and humanity. And then what? And so then rescue is a big theme as well. I tend to identify and try to announce that I've messed up a lot in life. And I think that's the beautiful part about grace. It's so offensive in the sense that there's nothing we've done to deserve it, and to say over and over to myself and to other people that it doesn't matter where you are, what's happened up to this point, you haven't gone too far for God to find you, and that He's been in pursuit of you your whole life. Those things right there is pretty much all I've been talking about the whole time, and I need to sing it to myself over and over.
Well, we all need it. I mean, you look at our culture, the issue of grace, you know, we kind of have a culture that lacks grace and it seems to be getting worse. So we need people to be saying these things because we all need the reminder. We can all fall into that trap of forgetting that, you know, there's forgiveness, that it's never too late, like you were saying, to turn back, and that we've all made those mistakes. And that's a powerful theme, you know, in your music. But what is it that keeps you going in music? You spoke to it a little bit before, but what is the thing? Because look, you could retire. You could say, I'm done. I've done everything. I've traveled all over. What is it that makes you say, I want to keep doing this?
It's always been for me less about like, I'm an artist and want to make stuff. I've never felt very artistic about what I'm doing. I feel like more artisan or out of utilitarian. That'd be the word. Like, it's very utilitarian. And as long as I feel like it's useful and there's a segment of the church that I'm able to articulate my vantage point that they can identify with, my experience that intersects with other people, and it seems to be helpful, that I'll keep going. You know, it just feels like as long as my voice is allowing other people to find the story of Jesus, that's the best. I feel very evangelistic and utilitarian about my approach to what I'm doing. And as long as it's, you know, being responded to, I'll still be here.
That's great. No, I mean, and that's the mission, right? And yeah. One thing about you, I've done a bunch of interviews with you over the years, and one thing that strikes me immediately about you is I've always seen you, and we're all humans. I'm sure you have your moments when you're not, and your wife could probably tell us, but you're always really positive. I mean, you're always really upbeat and happy. And I know the answer, I think, but what is it that keeps you in that place and brings you to that place? It just seems like who you are.
I was going to say, I don't know. I think, you know, we're all wired in different ways, but I am very optimistic about most things. In fact, my wife would say, I don't think I've ever seen him like stressed or anxious at the same time. That's to my detriment, because that means I won't remember where my phone is or where I should be at any given time. There's some downsides to it as well. You know, it's like, there's a Myers-Briggs meme that shows my wife and I are like basically the opposite letters, and the meme is my person expelling a rainbow out of their mouth and it just splashing all over the other person, so her life is catching all of my rainbow vomit. That's so there's downsides to it.
Oh, okay. And that reminds, you just brought up a meme, and one thing about following you, anybody who follows you on social media, you have so many of these funny memes and these things that you share. And I'm like, where does he get these? Where do these things come from? Do you just stumble upon them?
Oh no, it's weird. There's a lot of digging involved. You know, I'm hitting that, you know, making those that I'm hooked as well. But I think there's so much heavy, in social media now, as you were saying, there's just like a, you know, I think part of the reason we're able to be so vocally critical of one another and with the lack of grace and forgiveness is because there's that distance, you know, there's that, we wouldn't say most of the things that are said on the internet and Twitter if we were sitting in the same room with each other, you know, it's just not going to happen. And I'm just trying to provide a little space for a smile. You know, I remember when Instagram started, it was like, all it was like sunsets and pictures of your food.
It was like your whole meal plan.
Yeah, I was like, what's this Instagram thing? It looks like it's just all sunsets and food, you know? So I'm just trying to, you know, provide a little breath and let folks know you can laugh a little bit. That'll be a better way to get through anyway, you know? Laughing through the pain is...
Yeah, I like that. Quit fighting and laugh, right? And your feeds definitely do that on social. So final question for you. What on the Hits Deep Tour do you want people to walk away with? You know, what do you think people... Obviously, it's powerhouse of artists, you and Toby Mac and others, but what are you hoping is sort of the thing you leave people with at the end of the night each stop?
You know, I think Toby's been doing this so well for a lot of years. Just... for people to see the diversity of the church in the music that's going to be happening, as well as, you know, being back together is part of what the beauty of a night on His Deep will be, is just being in the room with people who are singing to God is pretty powerful, regardless of what, you know, the music sounds like. That alone is pretty cool as well. The other thing that they put in front of people that I love is each stop has like a local partner through the Salvation Army. And I just love that every city is going to have and see that there's an impact that we can make in a local way as people who are, you know, seem to be disconnected. We can come together and say something collectively that the planet Earth should be better because people follow Jesus. And that part too is going to be really cool. I love that he just does it in a local fashion. It's pretty spectacular. So those two things alone are going to be amazing.
Well, that's amazing. And I appreciate you taking the time coming on today and talking with us. We'll have to have you back real soon.
I love it. Good to see you again as well.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to pureflix.com right now to start your free trial.
From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
That was Crowder, and I hope you will check out his tour. And how cool was it to hear about him and Toby Mac and just his faith, right? That is such a faith-inspiring thing to sort of hear what it's like to be an artist, to hear from the artist directly. I know a lot of you are probably fans of his music, so getting a chance to sort of hear from him, we love getting to do that here on the PureFlix podcast. And I have to also point you over to a couple of other things. Head over to PureFlix today. If you're looking for good movies, there is so much to watch right now. My goodness, we've got The Passion of the Christ, which is streaming on PureFlix.com. We have Revelation Road. If you haven't seen those movies, check them out. We've got The Case for Christ. We've got The Chosen Season 1. There is so much going on that you want to check out right now. For the kids, Owl Gories, and I could go on and on and on. We are filled with great content over at PureFlix, so check that out. And also be sure to head over to the Edify app. If you're a podcast fan, the Edify app is filled with thousands of Christian podcasts. We are just one of them, but it's E-D-I-F-I, Edify, in the App Store on your phone, on your tablet, or edify.app in your web browser. And we will see you next week for another episode of the PureFlix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.